B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show Tuesday show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. This is kind of one of these take inventory shows. Yeah, we're going to take inventory of ourselves and how we think about the teams, in particular one football team that right now is on life support and must win out to win the division. And we're going to kind of evaluate what we have. And yesterday, the subject of the coach came up, Doug Peterson. And I think we have to look closely at this now, because we thought we were okay in that area. In two areas, we thought we were okay. After the Super Bowl, we thought we were okay in two specific areas. One, the coach, right? We thought the head coach was a good coach. And two, the general manager. We thought he worked magic. And now 2 years later, we go, were we duped? Was this a fiction, a prevarication, a ruse, a mirage? I don't know, but I want to find out today. Was 2017 the ultimate okey-doke on the Philadelphia sports fans? Was it a fluke? Did the sports gods say, you know what, this town has suffered long enough. Everything is going to come together for this team. They lose the quarterback, not going to matter. We got this other guy comes in. He's going to play well. They're going to get through the playoffs. They're going to beat Tom Brady. Was it that kind of a gift? Normally, I don't believe in stuff like that, right? I don't believe in the metaphysical. I think when you win, you earn it. But if you earn it, you would think that you have created a culture that would be consistent enough to keep it going, like other teams have done in the past, like New England. So, I'm thinking to myself, all right, Doug Peterson. When he first got hired, it was like, well, I don't know about this guy. He seems like he's a little dim. You know, he had a really peculiar explanation about that Chiefs playoff game. So right away, we mistrusted him. A former colleague of ours here started something called the Stunod meter. And then he just overcame that. And the Eagles won. And we go, we were so wrong about this guy. And we were so wrong doubting the general manager. And it is the new norm now. We are sitting here in comfort with a head coach and a general manager and an organization that's solid. And now we look at it, we're doubting everything. I wish I had a nickel for every email and tweet that I've gotten that Doug Peterson needs to be gone. Yesterday we talked about it. I'm trying to talk people out. There's no way they're going to fire a guy who won a Super Bowl 2 years later. I still don't think it's going to happen, but people are calling for it. So, when you reevaluate, you go, okay, maybe 2017 was a fluke. Which is it? It's got to be one or the other. Either he's a good coach having a bad year for whatever reasons those are, and a lot of it's because of injury, a lot of because of misjudgment by the front, whatever. Or he's not a good coach and it was a fluke. And if it's a fluke, we're in trouble. So that's where I want to go today. And by going here, I am really cheating the 76ers, who got a major win last night. Very entertaining win for the 76ers. And one of the linchpins in that game was Matisse Thybulle. And there are a lot of people asking the questions, why doesn't he play ahead of Furkan Korkmaz? And frankly, I made a vow not to talk about Furkan Korkmaz, even though I got sucked into it last night again on Twitter. So that's a subject that we may touch on a little later. But we're going to have Matisse Thybulle on at 2:30. So there you go. We're going to touch base with the Rook.
Yeah,
and it's the second time he's been on the show.
Yeah, he's coming off of it. He's becoming a bit of a fan favorite. And I think both on the court and because he's a little different for Philadelphia, always smiling and stuff. That's different for us.
He's a handsome fella, too.
Yes.
The he's a handsome fella, Nat.
Yeah, he's cute.
Yeah.
Very handsome. He's adorable. He's a little young.
He's adorbs.
Yeah, he is adorbs.
All right. So we're going to have Matisse on, and we'll talk to him about his role and how he looks to me like he's getting a little more used to it. But Tyrone, back to the subject of talking about the fluke versus the year that has played out, and maybe it's just unusual. This year, and that he actually is a good coach, and that the front office actually is a good front office. What are your feelings now here as we're in 2019 with a season that's frankly on the brink?
More and more, I'm looking at it as a fluke, Mike. I think that the only way it's not a fluke to me, the Dallas game, maybe Dallas is just better. Maybe. But they can't have another slip up like Miami. Miami game has shook me to the core. It has, because not just the game, but then his explanation immediately after the game, talking about how good they are, and then the next day, him fumbling, it seems to me like this is a guy out of answers. And if he's already out of answers, I don't think it's necessary. He's the guy. And I think that it was a three-pronged fluke. I think he was fluky. Howie, every single move he made before that 2017 run was perfection. Everything worked. Every trade, every signing, everything. Big V's playing a great, but somehow starting the Super Bowl. He hasn't looked good since. Everything worked. And now everything since then seems like has not worked. Every single move looks terrible since then from Howie. Mm-hmm. And the quarterback down in Jacksonville who just lost his job. I think it was a three-pronged.
So you're almost going metaphysical on me.
Yep.
You go metaphysical, and that the football gods, after all the suffering that this town has gone through over sports, especially football, that's one of those years where the sports gods were smiling.
For one, and we don't get that a lot in this city. Other cities get it. We rarely get it, and this was our time to get it. And the reason I say that is Carson Wentz started it off, playing at a high level. And I think once that avalanche started, It apparently nothing could stop it, and that's how it worked out. Once they got going, once they got rolling. But it just doesn't seem like any of those three are real. Now, maybe they can prove it. It's liquid. Maybe they do win out. I don't think so. I never thought so. I didn't think they were going to lose to the Dolphins, but I never thought they were going to beat Dallas. Maybe they do win out, and I have to change my mind. But right now, the coach looks to me like it was fluky. The GM definitely looks like it's fluky. Sidney Jones being the shining example of that. And even Nick Foles. It looks like it was a three-pronged triangle of fluke. And we're in a lot of trouble going forward.
All right. Well, we'll discuss it with the people. Also, we're going to touch on the Phillies today. But Matt Breen's going to join us because the Phillies made a decision not to tender Michael Franco and Cesar Hernandez. And oh my God, you mean to tell me I have to go a year without Tom McCarthy going Cesar? It's going to make my life a lot easier, I think. But that Tyrone, listen, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but that makes me 102-0 in assessments on players.
Yes, you were right. Dead right about both of those.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry I had to remind you this. I'm now 102-0. It says, thank you on my assessments of players.
Yeah. You know, and what's funny is everyone in baseball knew that what was going to happen because they tried to trade both of them because they think that both guys are going to get jobs. And they were like, why would I give you anything? Uh-huh. You're not going to tender those guys. There's no way. Yeah. And they were right. So they ended up they waited to the last second and then just said nope.
Yeah, now the Phillies, to make me 103-0, must move Gene Segura out of here. So I'm waiting for the 103-0.
I guess they're probably going to see some other dominoes because they want to move Segura's money. Apparently, the rumor is, and I guess Matt Breen might be able to elaborate, if they're going to take on money from somebody else, somebody has to take Segura's money with it. The Phillies will take on more, but they want to shed that money. And if they can't shed it, I guess they bring him back, which seems odd.
Listen, don't bring him back. Matt, don't fiddle faddle. Because what's going to happen? You're going to move him to second base, and then you're going to play King. If you sign Didi Gregorius, you're going to move Kingery to third base. It's the same mindset. Don't position guys where they should be positioned, okay? Bring the kid up to play third base and live and die with him. Sign Gregorius, play shortstop, and move Kingery to second base, and let's move on instead of the fiddle faddle. All right, here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 218. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, and of course on NBC Sports Philadelphia. If you're watching us on TV, welcome to our TV viewers. It is time to tell you about our Twitter poll, but first, the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. And if you're an HVAC contractor, you can visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. All right, let's get to our Twitter poll. Paul B. Moyer and Sons brings us the Twitter poll. And if you're wondering what to get the family this year, how about making you get a unique gift like the Husqvarna Auto Mower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons? Oh, what a great gift this would be. Check out the Auto Mower in person at the showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,000 votes on this one early. Was the 2017 Eagles season just a fluke? 45% say yes, 55% say no.
All righty. And a lot of people are angry at this this poll?
Yes.
The replies, how you win a Super Bowl and it be fluky? How's that possible?
Well, some people don't think it's a fluke.
No, they don't.
Evidently. Okay. That's good. But that's addressed what we're talking about now. Like, what do you see now with this coach? Because if you don't believe in him now, why would you not think it was a fluke? Right? What happened in 2 years? Did he go bad? Was it like a piece of fruit? What was it?
Right, so that's why I think some of these people, they're responding emotionally to a question, which is always odd because it's just a question. Mm-hmm. But say no, but then explain why they were so angry up until we asked that question about the coach. People have been furious for 48 straight hours at the coach. Yet now it's like, no, he's still a great coach. Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, which one is it? Which one is it?
Yeah, well, listeners and callers and poll people sometimes are different.
That's true.
They see
for
things
sure.
differently.
True.
That's a very interesting phenomenon. We'll see what we have.
I have a question. What's the time frame for it to officially become a fluke? Is that like 3 years, 5 years, 2 years? What is it?
Well, listen, does this coach look like that he's that savvy right now? Has he come off as a very savvy coach this year at any time? Matt? I'm asking you a direct question.
Yeah.
Has this coach come out as savvy to you at any time this year?
No.
All right, so then what is he? Was it a fluke? Right. 2017 was he a banana that was left on the shelf too long?
No, but that's what I'm wondering. What is the time frame that sets the parameters for a fluke?
I don't know.
Because I guess what's
2 years
standard?
Later, I don't know if there's a time parameter. If he comes off as not savvy, then he's not savvy.
Right. So
right?
Is that
like, we don't have to wait for next year to see that he's not savvy.
Right. So is that just the one that we sacrifice our souls for?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking the people.
Right. That's
all right, let's go to TJ in Philly. TJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. TJ.
What's going on?
What's up, TJ?
Oh, not much. I just want to talk about the Eagles and how can they lose against the Miami Dolphins? Miami Dolphins are a bad team, but the Eagles have to lose to them.
Yeah, they're a bad team, and the Eagles lost to them. Yes, that was the focus.
And I also want to talk about the Phillies and how they got a good-ass manager, Joe Girardi.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Joe Girardi knows the stuff. You know what I mean? Because he's been to the World Series. He's been to the playoffs. He knows what he's doing, and I'm glad they got him. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And I think that he will bring the Phillies to where they have to be.
I hope you're right. They need some players, though. They need to solidify their lineup. They have a lot of holes right now they got to fill.
Oh, yeah, I agree on that one. I totally agree on that. And I'm a big fan of you guys, and I'm a big fan of the Eagles and the Phillies.
All right, TJ. So let me ask you, TJ. Do you think that the Eagles Super Bowl, in relation to how they are now, was a fluke? Was this coach who was lauded 2 years ago, and not this year, was he a fluke?
Oh, yeah. I think the Eagles need a new coach.
Oh, you're bailing on Doug. You say he's a fluke. Out!
Yeah, I think that Doug Peterson needs to be out, yeah.
All right, TJ. TJ speaks. He sounded like too old of a guy to be called TJ. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't fit with the voice, TJ.
He's more like an Ike.
Ike?
Yeah, like an old guy. Like, what's the old name?
I don't know, but TJ is a young hip name.
Yeah, that's too young. That T must stand for Theodore.
Maybe his name's like Tim John or something. Timmy John.
TJ, I'm expecting like somebody that's a lot younger. I don't know.
I agree with that. I feel like there can't be any TJ over 40, can there?
I don't know. It's an interesting phenomenon. I don't know any letter dudes who were like close to 50.
No DJs?
No. I actually know a couple PJs.
Okay.
PJs is like an older name. I don't know any young PJs.
Yeah, the youngest PJ I know is like 37.
Yeah. There's no old PJs.
I don't think anybody's running around calling their 7-year-old PJ.
Wait. Hold on. So PJ is an older name, but TJ is not? Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
I would venture to guess that is correct.
I side with Nat on that.
PJ. That's very odd. Why would that be? Why would PJ be okay for an older dude, but a TJ not?
I don't know.
I never thought about it.
We talk to a lot of people in this area.
Keep me up at night.
I can see why.
Where are all the young PJs?
Go to Bo in Jenkintown. Bo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, thanks for having me on.
What's up, Bo?
This is Philly, man. This is Philly. This is not Boston. This is not New York. It's not L.A. Where's the passion? All right? I'm sick and tired of this team. I need to see them yelling at each other. I need to see them mad, all right? And honestly, bro, I'm Jewish, man, but bring me back St. Nick for Christmas, dude. I'm sick of it.
How's everyone doing?
This is Philly, bro.
Wait. Oh. Bring you back St. Nick. You mean Nick Foles?
My man Nick, bro. Because you know what? That Super Bowl was not a fluke. We won it in the most Philly way. That was how Philadelphia wins Super Bowls. With passion. With heart. With a backup quarterback. That's how we win Super Bowls.
Well, how do you know? Because it was the first one. So how do you know that that's the formula, that you have to have a backup quarterback to win a Super Bowl?
It came to me in a dream.
It did? Yeah, Nick Foles isn't coming back. So, I don't know.
Well, neither is that Lombardi trophy.
Well, all right. Nice. Thanks for calling there. Bo, I think Bo early this morning went to the convenience store, got some Swishers. What do you think, Tyra?
I agree. Absolutely.
Correct.
He grabs the Swishers.
Yeah, I think he grabbed Swishers, did what he had to do.
Rodriguez in Middletown. Oh, Rodriguez. Hey. ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué tal?
Hey, amigo Mike.
What's going on?
Mike, I told you last month, Mike, 8-8. Did I tell you last month, Mike? You told me, Mike, Rodriguez, you are ridiculous. There is no way that this team, Mike.
What?
We are heading to 8-8, just like I told you. We're going there. And let me tell you one thing, that guy's not so bad. His answer wasn't so bad. Let me tell you one thing, Nick. If Belichick would have got rid of Brady, the first Super Bowl they won, they would have never won another Super Bowl. New England would have been Super. Yes.
Now here's the thing. You got new energy because they lost, right? But that loss didn't have much to do with Carson.
Mike, your
boy just got benched.
It doesn't matter. He was good here. It was this offense.
How do you know he would have stayed good? He's a backup.
Let me tell you, you don't get rid of a man who takes you to the Super Bowl and expect to win another one. with a new guy.
Again, Rodriguez, don't take me back to the Foles lane.
Mike,
please.
It doesn't happen, Mike. If Belichick would have got rid of Brady, he would have never got another Super Bowl. Think about that, Mike.
Well, he wasn't a Nick Foles older player who had been through like journeyman status. Tom Brady was a younger guy.
It don't matter, but he had the magic. You know, we felt it at the time. He almost took us there again. Mike, you don't win another Super Bowl with a different quarterback. It doesn't happen. It was not a fluke, but we messed it up.
Rodriguez, me estás volviendo loco.
Yo no estoy ridículo, Mike. Te estoy diciendo lo que es, Mike.
All right.
8-8, Mike.
All right. God. I can't believe this. We can't go back to the Foles thing. Please, can we not go back there? That played out, okay? Get played out. It wouldn't have been any better if they kept Foles over Wentz. I know you think it would have been, but it wouldn't have been. See the way Foles is now? That's the way it would have been. And everybody would have been up in arms that you gave up a franchise quarterback that you drafted. You couldn't have done it.
They've put up 31 points, and Rodriguez is so one note that he calls to complain about the quarterback after they score 31 points. Is he capable of critical thinking?
All right, but let me just add this because I can't ignore it. He hasn't won games in the fourth quarter. You know the stats are out there. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting flooded with stats. He has not won games in the fourth quarter. So I'm not going to sit here and not criticize Carson Wentz. But that's another subject. The Wentz thing is another subject. Right now we're looking at this coach is the conductor of this team. And now we're starting to doubt whether he has the right stuff. Only 2 years later, 2017, when he's out there going, this is the new norm. Oh, we got Doug, and he's the greatest. And now we're looking at it like, well. And that's where I want to get to. Is it fair to go, okay, this was not the best season? He showed some cracks, but he's still a good coach, and I'm confident that he's the guy that can lead this team. Where are we when it comes to that? All right, let's go to Jay on a cell. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Jay?
I'm still laughing on the last two calls. I want to switch gears. I didn't call yesterday after the Eagles aftermath. I thought I'd skip Monday, and then today mm-hmm. they're still calling in. Philly doesn't win Super Bowls without backup quarterbacks. That's how we do it here, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Which is ridiculous. Think about how ridiculous that was. This is how Philly does it. It's the Philly way. We have to have a backup. Right. We had to have an underdog be the quarterback.
All right. Anyway, Mike, I'm going to switch gears. Because I got to remind the station and I got to remind the people who the most exciting team in Philadelphia is right now. And it's the Philadelphia Flyers. I got to. Mike, I know the Sixers are 10-0 at home. The Flyers, they have one loss at home in regulation.
I get it. You know, we have a Sixer on hold on the line listening to your call here.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold because I don't want to, you know, your point is a good one. All right, so we'll put you on hold because right now morph into some Sixer talk. A big win last night for the Sixers, beat the Jazz. Jazz coming off a back-to-back, but the Sixers played really hard defensively and they withstood a late charge to win that game. And defense is what we're talking about right now. And our next guest, of course, is really impressing people with his play. And he makes a couple threes last night, three to be exact. Rookie Matisse Thybulle on the Comcast Business Hotline. Matisse, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys?
Things are rolling for you guys right now. You feeling good last night? Great effort last night.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it was good to take care of that win.
All right, now, you are a plus 13. Every time I look, your defense seems to impact the game. And what we were looking at the other side of it is, like, scoring points, making threes. And last night, you stepped into three nice threes. Tell me a little bit about the progress as far as shooting the ball in the NBA is going for you.
I think a lot of it just started with getting comfortable at the NBA three-point line. And just from that, figuring out what threes are good threes for me at this stage of my career. And I think a lot of that came from just a dialogue with Coach Brown and then just looking at the numbers after we got a couple games under our belt. And I feel like now I found a pretty good feel for what threes I should be taking and what I shouldn't be taking.
All right, now you're seeming to get comfortable in every aspect, and I know, you know, we're looking at how you're coming off of the screens, DHOs, and how he wants you to play, which is space the floor and kind of sit deep in corners and get that thing going. But when you're coming off that dribble handoff, what is your role there?
For me, I just want to put pressure on the defense, force guys to have to come and help so then I can make plays for other guys, whether it's bringing over the big to hit Joel on the roll or it's finding shooters like Mike or Tobias spacing the three-point line.
All right, now, I know I was reading the story where he was talking about he doesn't want you to do what J.J. Redick used to do, which is come off those DHOs and fire. How soon do you think you'd be ready to be that kind of player offensively?
I mean, it's hard to say. I feel like I'm just... With each game, I'm taking what coach gives me, and I think we found something that's working really well for us. And I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
All right, tell me about playing at home. You guys are really, you know, you're putting on a show at home for people. What's the approach at home? How comfortable is it to play in front of these kind of crowds?
I mean, when you have a fan base like ours that is so passionate and brings so much energy to the game, it's hard not to go out there and give them 110%. And I think just for us, knowing that they have our back the way they do and just what they sacrifice just to come to the games, we take it very personally that we need to put on a show and make sure that we win the games for them.
Talking to Tyus Thibel, Sixer rookie, and there are a lot of people that would like to see you as the first guy in off the bench or to start when guys are out of the lineup, and I guess that's going to come eventually. Tell me about your defensive mindset. You're an aggressive defensive player, and at times early in the season, your mindset is to naturally try to cover everybody, and sometimes in the NBA that can burn you when you come off a shooter. So how have you learned to kind of curtail that and get on a more level playing field when it comes to that?
I realize the guys in the NBA are really good. So just playing that reckless, overly aggressive defense that I did in college wasn't going to work. And I think just watching a lot of film has helped me get a better feel for things just because I can see it and rewatch it and correct my mistakes. And just being able to hold back the urge to just go make those reckless gambles has been huge for me. And I think that it's shown up in like a lot of other ways just in terms of helping not put guys in tough positions and keeping myself out of foul trouble.
It's hard not to want to help, though. I know what your mindset is. Like last night, let's take the last night's game. Now, if you're guarding Ingles, who can fire, what's going through your head there as far as helping out and coming off of him?
I mean, it's hard. Like I want to help. It's really just helping as much as you can. So I need to be able to help as much as I can, but still being able to get back and recover and not give a guy like that look from the 3-point line.
All right. So first of all, your experience in Philly. Are you living the bachelor life right now in Philly? Like how comfortable has it been to be in this city?
I mean, the city's been great. Until I moved to Philly, I'd never really been to Philly. So it's everything's been new to me. And I've been really grateful just because the fans and the city have just taken to me so strongly from the beginning that it's been like a great experience. Whether it's just walking around the city or just getting to meet people where I live, everyone's been really welcoming. And I really couldn't have asked for a better experience.
So do you get out in public a lot or are you pretty much guarded?
I'd say I go out to dinner fairly often. I don't know how to cook, so it's a lot of eating out. But yeah, it's just, I explore a little bit.
Okay, I assume you have your favorite spots, and we won't put those out in public. But, you know, you're a rookie, so some hazing going on, some mild hazing. What is this deal where you are charged with bringing water to the media? The damn media? Oh, that happened today?
The media are people, too. You guys should appreciate that. but yeah, no, I it's little things like that. And the thing that I don't mind about it is it's always usually helping out somebody, so... I have no problem with whatever these guys ask me.
All right, so what did you have to actually do today?
While I was going to do my media coverage after practice, I had to go grab waters for everyone that was there. So I think it ended up being around like 12 or 13 people.
So you brought water to every one of them, and then you sat down and they interviewed you?
Yep.
So you disarmed them right away. I mean, that's a genius move.
Hey, it was a vet move by them. They set me up for success.
It is. I mean, how could they ask you about, like, how could they get on your butt with a question if you give them a bottle of water?
Yeah, I think they're all pretty stunned because they couldn't really get over the water bottle thing and ask me any basketball.
Yeah, and those media guys can be bought even with a bottle of water. That's one thing you're going to learn, Matisse. listen, man, keep it up. We're loving watching you. And, the thing that this town likes is a guy that delivers every night with a certain skill. And you certainly have done that. If you're going to make threes, you're going to have this town in the palm of your hands.
I appreciate that.
All right, Matisse, thank you. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Matisse, nice kid. Good kid.
Adore.
He's a good kid.
It is hard to dislike him.
Yeah.
For me. He just, every answer you get, he just seems very genuine. If he's faking, he's the greatest faker in the world.
Mature, but like beyond. Well, how old is he?
22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sounds like an old head.
He does.
Just sounds like a nice person.
And he kind of rolls with the punches. And like, because they, I know Mike Scott and him have a thing, and Embiid has a thing with them where I guess they get to like hit him on the neck if he makes a mistake and stuff. He just seems to just roll with it and just keep on playing.
All right. Let's get back to our flyer guy. Is he still there? Jay? Jay, sorry about that, man. We had, you know, we had to get Matisse in here,
Mike,
talk some Sixers.
Mike, you boxed out the fly guy from Matisse Thybulle?
I'm sorry, man. I couldn't have him hang while we talked hockey.
Yeah, listen, I really like Matisse Thybulle, to be honest with you, and it's always great when we get a draft pick right, and I think, like, you can just tell from the guy's maturity level and his willingness to play defense that they did good with that draft pick. So I do like Matisse a lot.
All right, so talk to me about your squad now.
Okay, man, we got the fifth or sixth most points in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, Mike, last year with the Eagles and with the Sixers, these are teams that have really high expectations going into this season. The Flyers didn't even make the playoffs last year. And now we had the most points in the NHL in November, fifth or sixth most points in the NHL. We won four straight. And entering December, we have 35 points. That's the first time since the 95-96 season. That's the Lindros era. Mm-hmm. 23 years that we've had that many points going into this month. So far, you know, Chuck Fletcher, man, he made the right moves. We got better coaching, better PK, better PP.
Oh, you got the PK and the PP, and you got AV. Yeah. It's the coach.
And we got better trades and better additions. So right now, for me, the Flyers are the most fun team to watch in Philadelphia because the Sixers are very good and they're exciting, but they still got their fourth quarter woes where they're like the lowest rating in the fourth quarter in the NBA. And so they're still in the fourth quarter. You get really nervous with them. But to me right now, the Flyers are just a really exciting team. And I just want to keep reminding the city, get on board. Let's go Flyers.
I think that's awesome. Now tonight, the Maple Leafs come to town. They're a hot team. Now, explain this to me. The Maple Leafs are the favorite tonight, bro. Oh, he's gone. He hung up. He dropped the mic.
Yeah.
Most exciting team in town. Boom. Dropped the mic. The Flyers are not the favorite tonight. Toronto, a slight favorite at the barn.
At the barn.
Figure that out.
That doesn't sound
good.
That's
not a good line.
No, that's a Maple Leaf line.
It really is.
And they fired Babcock, and they've played well since then.
And they're playing the kid tonight against the Leafs. It's not even Moose.
I know. Are they due for a clunker the way they've been rolling? I don't know. They might. It's hard to tell. I actually like the Flyers tonight.
You do?
I think they're more complete.
That line, I don't like them.
No, the line, I agree, but I think they're more complete on both ends than the Maple Leafs, from what I read. because I did some research on the game.
Got a star player coming to town tonight.
Yeah, but they don't play defense.
Austin Flyers
are going to get a lot of opportunities to score tonight.
Matthews, 31 points already, dude.
No, he's having a great
16,
year.
16, 15.
No, he's having a great year. All that kid's a stud.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, some of you may know, Sugar House Casino is now Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Joining the family of Rivers Casinos in Pittsburgh, Chicago, and the New York areas. Now, if you haven't been down to Rivers Casino, do yourself a favor and check it out. It is a completely different place. When you walk in, you'll notice it right away with a brand new layout that's really open and welcoming. A $5 million sports book that's just incredible. You can see the massive video wall, state-of-the-art 56-foot LED TV screen from every angle of the casino floor. There are great places to eat. There's a wood-fired pizza bar. You can sit down there. You can sit in the sports book all day in the rows of luxurious reclining leather club chairs and just pick your spots. Place some bets on any of the 22 self-service betting kiosks. They have 6 betting windows, and you can order food and beverage right there. All you have to do is send a text. You don't have to get up. They'll bring it right to you. A lot of specials every day, and they have a new upgraded loyalty program where you can earn points and redeem them for dining, tickets to shows, and casino play. Discover the ultimate player satisfaction at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, 247. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Flyers tonight. And Sixers get back at it. When, Tyra?
Thursday at the Wiz.
Thursday at the Wiz. Another bop.
Yes or no.
The bop win.
The Wiz score. They score. So the Sixers, if they have a cold shooting night, it's not a bop. I think they scored like 140 like three different times, the Wiz. They score.
Mm-hmm. You know, I forgot to ask Matisse this, but there's it's an interesting mantra that Brett Brown tells his players, that it's paint to great. It's like one of his mantras, mm-hmm. paint the great, which yeah. means penetrate, kick out.
Right.
For a great shot. Get to the paint, penetrate, have a kick. But there's one guy that should not be told that philosophy, nor should he do it.
Which?
And who am I talking about?
He's about Embiid?
No.
Which guy shouldn't?
I'm talking about 2-5, who got deep into the paint several times last night.
And
layup worthy. That's how deep he got, and he kicked it back out. Now, Thibault made a three off of one of them.
Yeah, I know
exactly
what
you're talking. It's just not a good play.
No, at that point, and those lead to more turnovers, and they end up to run out more than the open shot.
It makes me crazy. When he gets that deep, he insists on turning around and throwing it back out. He's 6'10", power the ball in the basket.
In the last few games, he's been more aggressive because I think mm-hmm. he took some of the criticism personal, like he always does.
Yeah.
The one thing he's still doing is that. Everything else, I like what he's doing.
He did it several times in that game last night.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He's doing it a lot.
I touched you after one. I go, he was 2 feet away when he did that.
Yeah, and Thibault got the shot, but it's like you traded 2 for 3, but you traded a yes, a 100% for a maybe.
But see, that's a Brett mindset that's got in it. Is it paint the great? Well, a great player doesn't have to follow that mantra every single time when you're a great player and can get to the basket anytime you want.
For Embiid and Simmons, it should be only paint the great when you're doubled. If you're singled up,
yes,
just get to the rim.
All right. Sean, Northeast Philly. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
How you doing today, guys?
What's up, Sean?
All right, let's get back to your program about the Doug situation.
Yes, sir.
I think it was a perfect storm that year. There was teams in the NFC that had injuries that kind of helped us a little more. And the Super Bowl, Belichick sat his best cornerback, which probably would have made a little bit of a difference in a pretty tight game. So, I mean, since Doug has lost his offensive guru, Buddy Frank, the offense has been so stagnant. He will not stick to the run, even though his players say they like running better. It worked during 2017, so it doesn't make any sense.
He's had a very uneven year. There's no question about it. And so that's where, like, when we have to evaluate the guy, is he a good coach or not? That's what I want to know from the fan. What do you think? Is he a good coach or not?
I think he's average. And his all three seasons other than 2017, basically, we've had a 500 record, maybe a win or so loss difference, but he's pretty much average, I believe.
Yeah, I see. I don't know how to feel about this because I give great respect to a coach who can carry it through tough playoff games and win those games. Now, the other side of it is, well, he had experts helping him. And now he doesn't have the experts. And when he doesn't have the experts, he's an average coach. I don't want to believe that, but it seems that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, you got DeFilippo down in Jacksonville making a guy in Gardner Minshew into a star.
Star? He stinks.
Well, he's better than Foles.
Yeah, but he stinks too. Correct. DeFilippo's not doing anything down there.
And I just want to bring up one thing for the Foles fans, because it seems like they're all going to substance abuse since he hasn't been doing pretty good. They sound a little out there today. He did nothing for us until the Minnesota game and the Super Bowl. On Christmas against Oakland, we could barely even score 9 points. The Giants game, yeah, it was a little bit better, but he was still sloppy.
Don't you dare criticize him.
I know, right? He got in, and I was a Foles guy back in 2013.
You dare. There's no such thing as a bad game that he played.
Yeah,
there's no recollection of a bad game.
Not for him, I guess. And that's the other thing. People always act like, is Carson the only person from that team in 2017 that didn't get a ring? Because everybody else gets called a Super Bowl winner. But
listen, I have made myself give myself logic to trying to hammer home this point. The only thing that matters is when you make the decision at the time. Because that's the decision, right? How things turn out, that's the way they're going to turn out. You don't know how they're going to turn out. So you rely on the best possible scenario. And the best possible scenario, as much as you were tempted to keep Foles and trade Wentz, because you're going to get X, Y, and Z for Wentz, the bottom line is that was not the most prudent decision. The most prudent decision was you invest heavily in drafting a franchise quarterback, and you had to give this young, hardy athlete the chance to develop into what you thought all your assessments were about him. That left Foles out. So you like to go back in time and go, they should have kept Foles, is a ridiculous thing to say because that wasn't the most prudent decision at the time. Now, years will go by. And we'll have time to figure out whether they overvalued Carson Wentz.
But this is where even if you think Wentz stinks, it was still the right decision. Because look at
exactly.
Foles this year.
But you didn't have any knowledge that he would stink. Now, as it turns out, maybe he's not going to fulfill the promise. But that's the chance you take. The decision at the time is that you got to look at the pile that has the most chips. And he had the most chips.
Foles broke his collarbone and now has been benched. Say whatever you want about Carson Wentz. You can say he stinks every fourth quarter. He's still the starter. He's still standing. He didn't break his collarbone. I'm done with these Foles people. Every single one of you. Foles has been terrible this year, and your response is, let's bring him back. The other quarterback's not terrible this year. Like, even if you say he's bad, hasn't been wretched.
That was just
Foles has been wretched.
That was just one dude who bought some purple swishes.
And Rodriguez.
Wow, Rodriguez is
a deal with him.
He's a Foles guy.
Every single one of them. Enough. Like, the guy got benched. He broke his collarbone. Like, what more do you need to see before you let that go? Every single one of his fans. I can't. I despise all of them.
They might never let it go. That's the whole thing. That's the problem.
Natalie, who gets more worked up? Tyrone over Foles or me over Cork Moss?
I don't know. I think Ty and Foles is pretty.
It beats me. It beats my Cork Moss.
Yeah, Corky yeah. Doodle.
Yeah, he beats Corky Doodle.
Yeah. I'm ready.
And it hurts me the most because I don't hate Foles. It's to his fans that I hate.
610-632-0975. Well, it's one line open. Grab it if you can. Right here on the Mike Pizzinelli Show. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.